Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning, and I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship together. Looking through our announcements today, first, the beautiful flowers are given by Ken and Florence Langhoff to the glory of God and in loving remembrance of their daughter Sherry and her best friend Rags, and thank you. Please be reminded that next Sunday, being Labor Day weekend, we will have one service at 10 o'clock. That'll be one service at 10 o'clock, and that's for next Sunday only. But one service at 10 o'clock, with next week being Labor Day weekend. Please note the United Methodist Women's announcement that you find in your bulletin, that's been in your bulletin a couple of weeks now. Also, please note that we will be starting the Wednesday night dinners back on September the 15th. And We will be taking some extra precautions as far as Wednesday night goes, but we will be starting back on Wednesday, September 15th. Kitchen committee is asking, since it's been a while since we've had the dinners, etc., that if you are RSVP by one of the ways that's listed in your bulletin here, just so that they know how to prepare. We are glad that on September 12th, we will be resuming Sunday school in all facets. We'll be having Sunday school assembly, and all of the classes will be meeting. So please make note of that. And those who use the materials from Cokesbury, those materials can be picked up in the Moon classroom. If you're not familiar where that is, just grab one of us, and we can be sure, and we can easily show you. And those who signed up for the Bible study, your books, if you're in the choir or praise team, your books are in your cubby. If you signed up otherwise, your book is on the table in the narthex, the table on the left side, looking this way. It's on the left side and has your name on it. The reason being, yes, all the books are the same, but I thought it was easier if you had your name on it, then you picked it up rather than trying to check it off the list. So if you signed up for the Bible study, please be sure and pick up your book. Are there any announcements that should be made that I did not make? If not, it's a joy every time the Lord calls us together, so let us come now and worship His most holy name. Gracious and loving Lord, we know that indeed you are here. We are so thankful. We don't ask you to be among us, but you have invited us to be with you. So as we proceed, we pray that our hearts and minds are in that place where you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we receive your communications to us. We pray that this service will be pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it will strengthen your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is, "Ye Servants of God." Let's stand as we sing.
Oh,
This morning, as we share in joys and concerns and go to the Lord in prayer, as always, we do have our prayer list in our bulletin. To highlight some this morning, we continue to remember Reverend and Beth Nuss. We brought them up last week, friends of the Bechtel and Brian family. I'm glad to report this morning that Russ is much improved. They both have COVID. And Russ is very much improved, but Beth has been on a ventilator all week. And so continue to remember them in a special way, both of them in their mid to late 40s. And then there is, this morning, Larry Foster brought up a friend of theirs who is in his 40s, who is also in the hospital with COVID on a ventilator. So remember all of these persons. And also some situations to remember that I know you are, but I believe deserve to be voiced during our prayer time. As we worship right now, of course, New Orleans, Louisiana, Mississippi is preparing for a hurricane to be hitting maybe by the time we've gotten home from church. And so we remember all of the persons in the path of Hurricane Ida. We do want to remember, as I know you are, in a special way, the situation in Afghanistan. I believe we can agree that regardless of one's political opinions, that there is a lot of hardship, a lot of human suffering going on in that situation. So let us remember Afghanistan in a special way. And I do want to bring up the pandemic. That's almost one of those things. Well, why do you even need to bring up that? It's just to remind us that, thank the Lord, right now here at Walker, we have been healthy enough and in such a situation that we do not feel that there's been any cause for any measures of changing how we meet together at this time. But do still continue to be in prayer. I know most people probably don't keep up with this as much as I do for my obvious reasons. To give you an idea of what things look like in Greene County right now, in June, we had a total confirmed cases of COVID of 7. As of Friday, Georgia Department of Public Health doesn't put out numbers on the weekend, so I won't see them again until Monday. But as of Friday, for August only, Greene County had 350. So you can see the trajectory shooting straight up like a rocket. On top of that, got word from the hospital here at Good Sam that they have been filled to capacity for the last 3 weeks. Have been using some of the emergency room for hospital beds because they're so full. On top of that, they've been doing ambulance diversion several times because they just can't take anyone in the emergency room. And then Good Sam does not even consider itself a critical care hospital, but they're having to do critical care because there's not a hospital to send them to in the state. Obviously, please be in prayer for the pandemic situation. I just wanted to bring you up to date on where we are on how crucial it is, because most of you have other things to do besides keep up with these kind of numbers, but it's important for me to care of the church to do so. And I just wanted to update you on where we are as a county, and also so you know how to pray. Lord help. Are there other joys or concerns that should be voiced that we did not? If there is not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we want to start this prayer first by praising you. For so many times when we share our prayer time concerns, that's most of what they are, is concerns, because they are real. They are situations we are facing in life. But Lord, help us to never forget that even in the midst of all of the concerns, you are still God. You're still in control. You still love us. You woke us up this morning, and so we've been able to gather. Had you not awakened us this morning, we would have awakened with you in glory. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you first. We want to thank you for your presence. Your presence in the times that we enjoy, your presence in the good times. But Lord, may we never forget your presence in the midst of the chaos. Though the chaos is real, and though the chaos seems to come like one wave after another at times, you are still God. You are still with us. You have not abandoned us, and you never will. And so, Lord, even though we do have concerns, even though we are realist and we see world situations, may we never forget that we are children of God. We are children of the King. We are children of the Almighty. And so, Lord, even as we see reality in this world for what it is, because of being children of God, may we always be people of hope. May we always be people of faith. Not because we have any faith in humanity, but because we have faith in the one who first loved us, created us, died for us, and rose from the grave to defeat every enemy. So, Lord, it's in that confidence that we do bring before you every single name on this prayer list, every single situation that we spoke of this morning, and every situation that is private between you in another person, in a person's heart. We know that you are still the great physician, and you can heal anything and everything, including a worldwide pandemic. And so, Lord, we just pray for your healing touch according to your will and your wisdom upon each. Lord, we pray for people that are bracing for this storm. We pray that the loss of life and injury, we would pray for it to be zero. That though there will be a recovery from damage physically, we pray that there'll be no loss of life and even no injury. And Lord, we pray for Afghanistan. This week we have lost 13 soldiers. This week, many innocent Afghanistan people were killed trying to escape. And gracious Lord, I just pray this morning that as American citizens, that we would be reminded of the privilege that we have as free citizens. That we are free to argue about the most trivial things. That we are free to get upset about the most trivial things, because our life's not threatened. And so, Lord, may we never forget the privilege that is ours. And may we never forget the responsibility, nor those who have taken on the ultimate responsibility. May your protection be upon those who protect us. May your healing be upon the wounded. May your peace be upon the families whose loved ones gave it all, particularly this week when it is so fresh for these who have lost loved ones. And gracious Lord, we do pray for the Afghan people. They're trying to escape, but many are going to be left behind. We pray that you will protect them in the situation in which they will be forced to live. And gracious Lord, we thank you for the family of God that we experience here at Walker Church. We thank you that every time we step into this room or we step onto these grounds and we come together, that we experience your love directly. We experience the love of one another. And Lord, thank you for the family of God that gathers, worships, and serves through Walker. And when we leave these grounds, remind us that you're going to be with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. And bring us back that we will worship you and encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is, O Master, let me walk with thee. Let's stand as we sing.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, your people give to you from the gifts that you first lavished upon us. May your blessings continue on each gift and giver, and may you guide us as a congregation that every penny entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
You are my strength, and I am weak. You are the treasure. my cross, my chain. Rising up again, I bless your name. You are my all in all.
When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, let all front. What is your name?
Scripture lesson this morning is Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of the disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I imagine most, if not all of us, grew up with adults constantly telling us to wash our hands. Now, I never could convince my mom or my teachers that. I figured if once you've knocked off the stuff that falls off your hands, hey, if it was stuck on your hands, what was it going to hurt? But they never bought into that. So, you know, adults constantly telling us, wash our hands. During the first phase of the pandemic, I don't know about you, but I got so tired of people coming on the radio telling me how to wash my hands. I got so tired of seeing TV commercials, people telling me to wash my hands. I just got tired of it, you know. And then, you know, I was part of it. When we finally started having in-person worship again, if you had to go to the restroom, you saw something on the mirrors. I know, 60, 70, 80 years old, you don't know how to wash your hands, so we had signs on the mirror showing you how to wash your hands. Showing you how to wash your hands thoroughly as opposed to rinsing them. I don't know anybody in this room that would not wash their dishes before cooking and eating. So a quick reading of Mark 7, 1 through 7, a quick reading of this exchange between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees might have one who is very sensitive about hygiene cringing. I mean, it looks like Jesus is anti-sanitation. I mean, not washing your hands, and I mean, Sally washes the meat before she cooks it, and anything with produce, I always wash it. You know, I wash something when I bring it home. Now, I don't wash the cans, but anything else, you know, something fresh, I wash it. We wash our dishes daily. We don't cook with dirty dishes. I mean, so why does Jesus get so uptight if they ask him about sanitation? It's because it wasn't about sanitation. First thing in the first century, I'm not sure they knew what sanitation was, and they definitely wasn't as worried about it as we are. But most importantly, this exchange has nothing to do with hygiene. It has everything to do with what is true devotion to God. In this exchange, the religious leaders have absolutely no concerns about if the disciples are sanitary or not. They are perturbed because the disciples are not observing the purification rituals of hand washing. I thought about it, but I didn't want to bore you to death. And sometimes it's hard to keep you up anyway, and so I didn't want to take any further risk. I almost demonstrated for you the silly ritual that they had to go through in washing their hands. It wasn't a matter of soap or whatever. It's just you had to put this hand in this time, hold your arms up, you know, just a whole bunch of silly stuff that you had to go through to be considered having washed your hands. And so they asked Jesus, says, why don't your disciples follow the tradition of the elders? Well, the tradition of the elders was the oral law that developed when the scribes took the written law and added explanations and regulations as how the written law applied to every situation in life. In that process of this elaborate system, the oral laws determine what was clean and what was unclean. If a person or a thing is clean, then they are fit for service to the kingdom of God. If something is not clean, that person or thing is not fit for the kingdom of God. And then on top of all of this, then they had developed elaborate rituals for obeying the elaborate set of laws that they had added on the laws. Now the written law was the Ten Commandments, in the first five books of the Bible. Have you ever read the first five books of the Bible? Man, there are piles of instructions, piles of regulations, piles of procedures in those five books. Well, what the oral law did was put a whole bunch of explanations about how you take all of these things from the first five books and put a whole bunch of regulations on top of how you carry that out. An analogy might be, we started out with the Constitution in the United States. And then we had amendments in the Bill of Rights. As time goes on, we added federal laws on top of that. We added state laws on top of that. We added county laws on top of that. We added city laws on top of that. I don't care how straightforward a document is, if I need it to be legal, I'm having it looked at by an attorney. And then on some things that you have to have an attorney who specializes in a special part of the law that's a special part of this law, that's a special part of this set of laws, that's a special part of these. Because we started out with the Constitution. Now we got so many laws, I don't know how many laws we have on the books. Well, on top of all of this, by the time of Jesus, this elaborate system of outward ritual was considered devotion to God. And then in this exchange, Jesus comes out and says, paraphrasing, it's your attitude and your actions is what counts. That's what's important. So now, what does all of this stuff have to do with trying to be a Christian in 2021? Well, I'm just going to touch on basically one thing that's kind of split into two categories, but they both fall under one umbrella. And that is, we can fall into the trap of empty ceremony and practice. I would challenge you to observe any group of people that meets for the stated purpose of worship. And I say groups because they can range from house churches to families who don't believe in organized religion in any form, to denominations of all kinds. They may be high church liturgy, they may be Pentecostal, they may be non-denominational contemporary, they may be snake handling. Now, I've never been into a snake handling church, but I've watched movies of them. Not fictitious, but documentaries. What you will discover, regardless of the group that meets, they all have a ritual, a habit that they follow, even if they don't realize it. Now, at least at Walker, we admit it. We've got our bulletin. I'm not sure what I just did with mine. There it is. Every Sunday, you know what's going to be in there. The only variations is if we add a special song in there that we don't normally have. And on Communion Sunday, we have a slightly different order than we do on the other Sundays. Otherwise, unless, you know, if you have a better memory than I do, you don't even need this because we do the same thing every Sunday. We know we do that. Well, every organization, every group that meets together does that, even if they don't realize it. I don't hear it as much as I used to, but when I first entered the ministry, I had a lot of people who would convince me of why they were against organized church, and they'd say, well, we're not tied down to a bulletin. I heard that a whole bunch of times. But if you watch what they do, they follow the same pattern with very little variation. So I ask you, is everyone that has habits of worship that they follow a scribe or a Pharisee? The same can occur with daily devotionals. Many folks have a set time, a set place, a set of materials that they use for their daily devotionals without fail. Is everyone that observes such a time and a practice a scribe or a Pharisee? Well, of course not. But we need to remember both are traps that we can fall in. August 3rd, 1996, Melvin Hitches of New Orleans sat on his front porch and read his Bible. That's a good thing to do. And pretty good witness. People see you on your porch reading your Bible. You're not waving a flag, but you know they see you on your porch reading your Bible. After his Bible reading, Mr. Hitchens went into his house and got his .45 caliber handgun, went back outside and shot his neighbors. He killed Donna Jett, who was sweeping her sidewalk, and injured her husband, Daryl Jett, who was mowing. Family members and neighbors testified that Hitchens and the Jets had a running feud about the upkeep of their yards and the cleanliness of their gutters. From the tone of the article, I assume Mr. Hitchens wasn't taking too good a care of things. The Jets had spoken to him about it. He read his Bible, then shot him. Now that was back in 96. In July of this year, one man strangled another man to death as they argued about a Bible passage. Now, if you've never been to our Bible studies, ours are more peaceful. But one man strangled another man to death because they were arguing over the Bible. So am I preaching against the Bible? No. Am I preaching against Bible reading? No. Am I preaching against daily devotionals? No. Am I preaching against church attendance? No. All of these outward things are vital practices that help our growth in relationship to the Lord. But, being religious, attending worship, being religious, reading the Bible, is not the same thing as being in a positive, saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You can come to church every Sunday, be very religious. Not be a Christian, though. You know your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Still not be a Christian. Thus, a reminding moment. A time to tell you something you already know, but we all do well to remind ourselves of on occasion. If you attend worship on Sunday and feel that you have done your religious duty for the week, but it makes absolutely no difference in how you live your life, you've participated in empty outward ceremony. If, on the other hand, the rituals or habits of each Sunday focus your heart and your mind on God so that you honor God, you praise God, and therefore when you leave this place, you're more motivated to strive to live a Christ-like life pleasing to God, you have worshiped. Notice this, the same outward action. So what's the difference? What's motivated from in here? If our Bible reading, our Bible study, our devotional time is an item to get checked off the daily list like we do the laundry and the grocery shopping, but it doesn't bring us any closer to Jesus or the life Jesus is calling us to, we have engaged in private, outward, empty ceremony. If, on the other hand, that time focuses our heart so that throughout the day we are reminded of God's love, we are reminded of God's promises, we are reminded of God's expectations, we are motivated to strive to live a Christ-like life, we have engaged in private worship. Same outward act. What's the difference? What the motivation is? Jesus emphasized that it's not the outward demonstration of religion that determines the type of person one is. Jesus quoted Isaiah condemning Israel for worship ceremonies while lacking ethics in the treatment of people. He stressed in the immediate context with the Pharisees that what comes out of the heart, the attitude and the actions that result from the heart, far outweigh any kind of ceremonial purity. Thus, worship attendance, Bible reading, daily devotionals, any other outward practice is beneficial when it's motivated by a positive, loving relationship with Jesus Christ and a desire to grow in that relationship. James would put it this way in his letter, some call it a sermon, recorded in James 1, verses 22 through 27. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongue, but deceive their hearts, their religion is, and this is tough language, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. I remember a lady in a previous congregation taught me a valuable lesson that I never forgot, and she never knew she taught it. She sang in the choir when she was there. She was healthy. Yeah, she attended worship somewhere between every other Sunday on a good streak, but most of the time it was every three, maybe once a month. Aggravated me to no end. Well, one morning I overheard as the choir was waiting to go into the worship service, and she was there. She wasn't speaking to me, but I overheard a conversation. And in the course of the conversation, I heard her mention a sick person that she often cared for. Turned out, most of the Sundays that she was out, she was caring for this sick friend. On top of working full time. On top of being married. On top of raising a teenage son. I have this little voice that talks to me all the time. It can really be aggravating. But that little voice that talks all the time, that little voice inside started talking to me again and said, John, you preach every Sunday and that's what I called you to do. You proclaim the word. That's what I called you to do. But while you're preaching, she's practicing what you preach. Hello. James said, hearing the word is important. Doing the word is more important. So I hope we do all read our Bibles regularly. I hope we study our Bibles regularly. I hope we attend worship as much as we're physically able. Not out of religious obligation. Not out of some religious hoop to jump through. I hope and pray that we do, because we're striving to be more like Jesus every day that we're given life. And in response to the love and grace that we have already had lavished upon us, and in our desire to grow into Christ's likeness, we are drawn to God's Word as we desire to grow closer to Him. And we're drawn to the gathering of the church to worship and praise Him. So, we're going to meet next Sunday. And we're going to be on the bulletin for Communion Sunday. So, it'll be a little bit different from this one, but we'll have a bulletin. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start back Sunday school. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start having Bible studies. Is it going to be religion? Or is it going to be Christian? It's going to be determined by what's motivated here. I hope and pray that we all come back next Sunday and we do the same things that we do every Sunday. I hope and pray that we come back to Sunday school and we do the same things we've done however long we've been on this earth going to Sunday school. I hope we come back to Bible study and we begin our Bible studies back to what we were doing. And I hope when we come that we're motivated by the heart to grow closer to Jesus, so that all of our gatherings will be Christian and not merely religious. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings. Many of us need routines. Many of us need habits. They keep us on track. But Lord, thank you this morning that through this passage you have reminded us that even the best of habits can become that, just a mere habit. So Lord, I pray this morning for all of us that if there are any of us that have fallen into that place where our outward expressions of faith have become merely religious because they're simply habit but have not made any difference in who we are, I pray for your forgiveness. And I pray that our outward actions would be the result of our inward desire to be the people you're calling us to be. And Lord, for those who may not have fallen into that trap, thank you. But Lord, may they always be aware that that trap is there. So that even doing the same things, it will be motivated by that inward desire to be who you're calling us to be. So Lord, we pray that every time we gather in whatever form it is, that we will be a Christian gathering and not merely religious. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of dedication is Here I Am, Lord. We'll sing verse 1 and verse 3. Let's stand as we sing.
I, the Lord of sea and sky,